We are constantly talking about this stuff in the most loving and supportive way possible. I don't see how we could end up in this just awful adversarial separation thing when there's that much love and support and communication as part of us going through this.
You've been hiding in the shadows way too long. You always thought that you were weak, but babe, you're wrong. Yeah, you better step into the light. Just give it a try. Think that it's time you let that spark out. You've been hiding in the shadows way too long.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I'm Robin, your host, and I'm a late bloomer just like you. We are a part of a rapidly growing, lesser known or even talked about subset of the queer community. We're a tribe, if you will. And if you're anything like me, when I came out, I was confused, scared. I felt like I was going crazy and I felt all alone and had nobody to talk to. Not to worry, you've come to the right place. In the Coming Out Late podcast, you'll hear real, raw, and relatable Coming Out Late stories. You'll be inspired, informed, and educated, and you'll definitely feel supported. And you can stop feeling like you're living someone else's life and start living your own. So welcome, you have found your tribe. And welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode of the Coming Out Late podcast. I am Robin, your host, and I want to thank you for tuning in and for spending a sliver of your time with me today. You are tuned in to part two of Coming Out Late in a Hetero Marriage, the story of David and Monique. So if you did not yet listen to part one, which aired last week, I highly recommend you go back and catch part one first. Then come back and listen to this part two episode. In the beginning of this week's episode, you heard the voice of David, Monique's husband and partner of over 30 years. David has made Coming Out Late history for this podcast by being the first ever cisgendered married man to come on the podcast and to share with us his perspective of what it's like to have your wife approach you with the news, "Hi, honey, I'm gay." Part one was incredible, but I promise you, David and Monique dive even deeper this week and allow us into their most private of private parts of their relationship and into the sometimes excruciating struggles they're facing, trying to somehow make sense of what to do next and, while exploring all of their options, ultimately plotting a plan of action together that could very well change the course of both their lives. I, once again, want and need to remind you that the conversations you're about to hear are among adults discussing adult topics. It is entirely possible that the subjects of libido, sex, desire, and intimacy may be discussed, and adult language may occasionally be used. So don't say I didn't warn you. All right, let's dive right back into my conversation with Monique and David, discussing Monique's coming out late in their hetero marriage. And remember to hang on for a bit at the end, where I will share all kinds of cool announcements with you.
We have, you know, as all the other women do, like everyone in the group, have to deal with the marital, what do you do with the marriage? And the only thing that I will say in extra to that is the mixed orientation marriage groups are no better. They are rife with pain, just so much pain. And it wasn't making me feel good. Can't tell you that. It was actually making me feel very sad.
But even though you and David were having conversations that maybe that evening did not have a resolution, you were still getting up to bat and having those conversations. And for that, I give you two a ton of credit. And, you know, with regard to the pain that are in the mixed orientation groups and the pain that is in, you know, our Facebook group and our support group, to that I say, it's life. Life being lifey.
Yes.
Show me any human being on this planet that doesn't have pain in their life. Like, this is just, in fact, you know, I almost feel honored that I get to experience all these experiences, because it means I'm alive and I'm living life. You know, it sure beats, you know, being 6 feet under, or it beats, you know, some people are fighting for their lives in hospital beds, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's pain everywhere. And there's going to be pain in mixed orientation marriages. There's going to be pain in, you know, mixed ethnicities, mixed races, mixed, I mean, everything, you know, and it's how we show up for those experiences that makes a big difference in our life. And yeah, but I'm thrilled that you guys were having those conversations, because each of those conversations would lead to another, which would lead to another. And, you know, you guys just refuse to take off the uniforms and throw your bat in and say, I'm done, you know? So yeah, any thoughts on anything that you've heard so far, David, or did you want to jump in?
No, I kind of like, yeah, Monique talking through that last bit made me think about the things that were going on for me at that time. And like, I distinctly remember watching the Christmas movie and also the documentary Ahead of the Curve, I think was the name of the documentary itself, and thinking like, oh my God, Monique is missing out on, you know, like a different life. And so we did talk about that quite a bit. And I think during that discussion, though, you know, having heard about where she grew up, you know, at the beginning, a different life didn't necessarily mean a better, because she lived in a community that was not going to be supportive, you know? So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, and Monique and I have been saying this a lot lately, the grass isn't, you know,
yes, sir. What is it? The grass is always greener on the other side, but
yeah. But yeah. The grass is greener where you water it. So is what I was trying to say. And so like we had those conversations all the time. We're sitting next to each other on the couch watching these movies, having our own version of, oh no, going on in our heads, you know? And the thing that we talked about endlessly was this idea of like a pie chart, or you know what, let's just make it fun. We'll actually make it a real pie. I mean, we grew up together, right? We have alignment. We are like ideally suited for each other in almost the entire pie, except for this one thing. And, you know, we would argue that like, it's a small piece. How, you know, like, and so this became the troubleshooting of like, how do we overcome this one little piece of the pie? But prior, you know, timeline wise, prior to Monique joining your group and then, you know, me checking out mixed orientation groups and looking to see what was going on in those places, like, yeah, I mean, that's when we were really in really dark places in our heads about what does this mean? Are we, you know, are we destined to separate? What does that look like? I'm a planner, so I'm thinking like logistics of all of this stuff, you know, because that's just where my head goes. If you've ever seen the Heart and Brain cartoons, like that describes us to a T. Yeah, perfectly. And so, yeah, that was the really, really painful stuff, you know, that kind of led us to like checking out these different support groups and trying to figure things out. So, yeah.
And again, that reminds me, you know, it goes back to something Monique said, is try not to compare yourself to other people.
Right.
You know, it's healthy, I think, to see what other people are doing.
Yep.
And, you know, and to certainly get research and get information, you know, information gathering. But what's ultimately going to work for you and Monique is what you and Monique decide to, you know, you may not get it right the first time. You know, it's really cool because we learn more from our experiences and the things that we try than we do getting it, you know, right the first time or not trying at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's really important for anybody listening to try not to compare yourself to what the Joneses are doing, because chances are what's behind the door, you know, the home of the Joneses is not what, you know, the Joneses are portraying. And
we do see that on social media a lot, right? Like we're getting to see people's best lives. They're not telling you about the mundane stuff. They're not telling you about the bad stuff. So you can't fall into that trap. Also, like what we found was sort of like what Monique alluded to a bit ago. Like, you know, we're in the mixed orientation groups. We're in, you know, she's in the lesbian groups. All these groups only describe part of our situation, you know? So you do have to like go there for like guidance and like see how other people are doing, but you still have to like blaze your own path, you know, and don't like feel like, oh, I have to follow this path because it's what so-and-so did or what this group tends to do and things like that. So, you know, we just kind of had to hold on to like, you know, the many, many years of us being together and feeling like we don't want to separate. Neither one of us wants to separate. We, you know, we want to figure out how to make that work. And so that's, man, oh man, like all of the things that we've been figuring out just in the last 2 months since, you know, a lot of revelations and us joining these groups has just been, I just feel like it almost a different person in a different relationship.
Wow.
So, but all good.
So, wow. Do you care to share some of those revelations that have helped move you forward, or?
Well, yeah, Monique, do you want to start with, Kroger parking lot
therapy? So yeah, it was, one of the seminars that I teach is on communication, and part of communication is diving down to the actual root of what the issue is. And I knew that all our conversations prior to that, David and I weren't actually touching on the big, scary question. And the big, scary question is our sex life dead? Because it was getting to the point where I started fleeing the bed. I didn't want to be in that situation. I would wake up super early, and because I'm a morning person anyway. And so I would just get out of the situation before it even happened. Our sex life was dying. And so it was, all right, we're going to have to go there in conversation and just ask the big question. And so we called it Kroger parking lot therapy because it happened in Kroger's parking lot. We had to run out, and we ran out together, and just because it's a place without the kids where it's just us, there's no interruptions. It, you know, in the car was actually a brilliant place to have the discussion. But basically, we tackled some really big issues, you know, of let's talk about our sex life. Let's address head on the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is, I'm not sexually attracted to the male form. You know, how does that work?
Mm.
But a decision was made, and the decision was, I'm in this. We're not breaking up. So as soon as the decision is made, then there stops that waffling, like, oh, should I have this life? Should I? And it's that waffling. But I'm a fucking creative strategist and he's a fucking engineer. We can figure this shit out, you know, like, sorry, it's one piece of the pie. We're smart people. Yep. So we sat down in Kroger's parking lot and we did a bunch of shadow work. Like, all right, let's look at the past. What went wrong in the past? Like, until now, why could I have sex prior to this? Why can't I have sex now? And I told him, and the real hard thing was I told the love of my life, all of our sex until this point has been obligatory. I was performing the wifely duty, the wifely obligation. Of course, there were times here and there where I actually had, you know, fun. And so it's not like all of it, but the great majority.
That's very common.
I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only was I just there, I kind of didn't want to be there. And I kind of was feeling a lot of pressure and a lot of obligation. And where things, every time I started really disliking how his body functioned, because every time he would get an erection, I was just like, no. And I would have a trauma response to that. And I would just freeze up. I would literally just like freeze up, and it was getting really bad. And so we started talking about that. Like, what do you do in that instance? And here is this man, this beautiful, beautiful man, whose wife just told him this in the fucking Kroger parking lot. And so he, being the amazing person that he is, just said, all right, well, how about you initiate from now on? I will no longer make any assumptions. But what was great about what a dynamite answer that was, it got rid of all the obligation on my end. Because if I don't initiate, he doesn't think we're having sex.
Yep.
And by doing that, he also, for himself, gets rid of me, any chance of me rejecting him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in one idea, we get rid of all of the rejection. And we get rid of all the obligation and pressure just in one idea.
Wow.
We're like, oh, okay.
Brilliant.
That's one, you know? And then I came up with the thought, because I have, like, I'm very picky. And so I like things to be very pretty and ambiance, and you know, the kids can't be around, and like the dog has to be, you know, like there's just so many factors that need, you know, and I have to have a good day and all these type of things. And I figured out, like, honey, would you be willing to have sex at like 3:30 in the morning?
Wow.
Like really early? And he was just like, yeah, of course. Like anything, please, like anything, you know? And so we called it the witching hour. And uh-huh. Because if you think about it, at that time of night, it's dark
dogs
and ambient.
Yeah.
The dog's in the crate. The kids are asleep. We're already in bed. You know, like
that's
everything
brilliant.
Is already there. And it's before my logical mind really clicks in. And before I start thinking about my day or anything, I just wake up. And so we're like, okay. And David had watched this sex therapist on a TED Talk that talked about naked time and just having being naked in bed together without any pressure. Just try doing that. And so basically how we started was, let's just try being naked together without any obligation. Let's just try snuggling. Let's
wow.
just without any pressure. And so that's how we started. We kind of like revamped and restarted our sex life. And it just started with just being naked together and with zero pressure or expectation of sex. And eventually things just sort of happened because you're already there, you know?
Yeah.
And so things were inching along and inching along and getting better.
That's beautiful.
What was your point? Like, what do you think of, what was your
perspective on this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to mention is just like we would always go to bed snuggling every night anyway. You know what I mean? So like it's not like there was like this distance between us 24/7, you know, like we always had that. And yeah, the stuff about like eliminating the possibility of rejection was huge because, yeah, it's and this goes back to the idea of like, you know, the arrangement. You know, she mentioned wifely duties, you know, the guy's supposed to be the one initiating all this sort mm-hmm. of stuff. And, you know, but we're just repeating the same behavior over and over again, expecting a different result, you know, definition of insanity here. And so we just threw all of that out the window and just like, okay, you initiate. Monique came up with this like magic hour of time that like might work. And we're like, yeah, let's give it a try. And it was working, you know? And so, yeah, it was just like, all of these different little factors coming together in just the right way, which like is just a, you know, a problem solver's dream, honestly, you know, like, you know, because honestly, that's what I think Monique in Kroger parking lot therapy was terrified about what she had just told me.
Mm.
And I saw it as like, no, you just unlocked the problem. Now we find the solution, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that's how it was in my mind.
Wow. I mean, both things are true. I would be terrified. And I mean, mm-hmm. I felt the same way. I had obligatory sex. I didn't enjoy it. I avoided the bedroom. To this day, I have sleeping issues because I would stay up until all hours of the night mm-hmm. until, you know, I wouldn't go to bed. I didn't want to go to bed. And yeah, but what's beautiful about what you two are describing is that you both are willing, you both are open-minded, and you both are being rigorously honest. And when you have open-mindedness and honesty and willingness between two people who love and respect each other, anything is possible, you know, anything is possible. And I mean, you're coming up with solutions, trying them out and pivoting, you know, it's, you may not get it the first time around, but you're willing. And that's just so freaking amazing. I mean, you guys are a beautiful couple. You really are. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
It's also amazing that he didn't take that personally.
Yeah.
At no point did he take that as a shot to his ego.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yep.
I think what helped Monique was that like, you the way you described it was like, I'm just hardwired for something else.
Mm.
This is not this isn't anything that I did wrong, you know?
It's not. No.
And it's not anything that you did wrong. There's no fault here. So therefore, we're just trying to find solutions to it, you know? And so, you know, like since then, it's been a lot of like diving into whether it be the groups or that sort of stuff. And so like, so by now, you know, Monique's looking into the lesbian groups like yours. We're looking into mixed orientation groups. And then it's like, all right, well, now we're like, there was, I think it's Our Path is the mixed orientation group. They have a podcast and they had somebody on talking about different forms of ethical non-monogamy and all of that. And I had listened to the podcast a while ago. And then, well, and Monique always said she wanted to listen to it. So we ended up listening to it together. And so now, you know, we've got lesbian groups, mixed orientation groups, and now poly and E&M groups that we're checking out, none of which we fit completely, but we're just using them all as resources.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now we're like, you know, reading these different books, you know, and having more communication that's based on what we're reading, you know, in this long poly FAQ that I found and like all of these aha moments about both of us and trying to navigate like, all right, well, cool. What does our path forward look like? You know, like, and so like right now I feel like we're in the part where we're just kind of doing the work. We're doing the research. And the hope is that through doing the research, Monique can come to, so, you know, like, and it's not going to be permanent, but like an idea of like, right now, what do I want? Am I okay in this monogamous relationship, or do we possibly need to open it up in some way? And the way that I've felt about it is that's, you know, that is completely fine for, you know, either way is completely fine. I don't have a problem with, you know, Monique, you know, going out and, you know, exploring in order to have that experience. The concern is always that like, okay, you know, what does the experience lead to from there? You know? And so like, there's all of that. And that's what really for us, the work is all about is we don't have a crystal ball. So we do the research and we figure out like, all right, best we can tell, you know, try this out, you know, in the safest way possible. And we're total amateurs at this part as well. But, you know, at the same time, like I am with the person of, you know, my desired sex. And so therefore, like, I don't have the problem here. So we've kind of divided it into phases. Like phase one is figure out what, you know, Monique wants. And if it does get to the point where like, all right, you know, Monique is with a woman. And so therefore, like, you know, a switch flips and she can no longer be with me. Well, then, okay, well, then maybe we have to open up things on my side, phase two. And we try to do it in a way where like, you know, we're both getting our needs met for that small pie piece, but staying together, you know, as part of the whole, you know, is the goal. So, wow. Yeah.
And don't forget to have fun. This is a journey. Life is a journey. You say that you're doing the work now, but really you're living now too, you know.
Oh, and I should say, I should add real quick though, like the work is so much fun for us. Like we I would say like what, 3-4 nights a week, instead of watching TV, we're like reading a chapter and like, or we listen to a podcast. We don't get through like 5 minutes at a time of the podcast without pausing and like wanting to talk about it and things.
Wow.
And we had a surprise day where the kids were both gone and we spent literally the entire day on the couch just talking, you know? So like there's nothing work like about this work.
Good.
You know, it's been a blast for sure.
Yeah. And it is a journey. Something else that popped into my mind too, is that, you know, nothing is forever. Like whatever is decided today or might be working today might look different next week, you know? Yep. And that's where the open-mindedness and the willingness and the communication come into play. And this is going back pretty far in our conversation, but I also did want to acknowledge and recognize that there is, For Monique, both things are true, loving and wanting to stay in this marriage and also mourning this, now having this awareness and awakening of who you are and that there's a part of you that's not being honored yet, you know, that empty, dusty bucket. Both things are true, you know, both things can be absolutely true at the same time, that there is a mourning process to that. But I think, gosh, I mean, I just think of how fortunate, you know, you, Monique, having this guy, David, who's so freaking, like, you know, to be able to talk to him about this and have him on this journey with you. And I mean, David, you are unusual, man. You are really, really, really special. I just cannot stress that enough to, you know, I would want to bring my problems to you. I mean, like, I'd just be like, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's just incredible. And I can't wait to see where this journey continues for the two of you, you know, because it's all of us are on a path of just experiencing life, and it changes it. You know, we go up and we go down, you know, like I drew this roller coaster, Monique, when you were talking about, you know, this euphoria of coming out and then all of a sudden recognizing after watching, you know, the Christmas movie and a few other things, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to experience that. You know, you don't know
right.
that yet.
And, right.
But it's an up and down roller coaster of emotions for everybody involved. And I just think you're both handling it incredibly, incredibly well. I want to ask you both each a question. Monique, what has been the hardest part for you on this journey since 2016?
The hardest part was thinking that the marriage was over. That was the hardest part. And as far as for me, the hardest part was making the decision that to stay. Yeah. That was a really, really, it was one of those, just because when you're weighing options, they're both really heavy options, you know? But once the decision was made to stay, now it's just a problem solving issue, you know? And so we just work on the problem.
Wow.
You know?
This may be redundant, but is that also like what has been the scariest part for you? Have there been any parts where you were scared?
You know, it was in the lesbian groups, a lot of them say that I am dishonoring my husband by having him stay with me because he is not getting what it's like to be with a heterosexual woman. And that was really, really, really hard for me to hear because I love this man and I want the best for him. And so when I came out, he said, you know, if it's best for you, I will let you go. And I said the same thing back to him. I go, if this is the best for you, I will let you go, you know, because we both don't know really what we're missing because we've only been with each other. But it does lead to an interesting, on March 9th, a girl flirted with me for the first time. And that was, it awoke body desire that I hadn't felt since I was 12. And I was shaking and I was stuttering on text and chatting and I couldn't believe it. It was just like everything was awake. But the great part is I now know where that lives because I'm like, oh, that's how I access it. That's how I get that. And so now Dave and I have unlocked something in our own sex life. And at first it was, he was kind of getting like, you know, how like a boat causes wake. I would say that he was getting sex wake where it was, I would get, you know, kind of enthused by chatting with this woman online and then go to him and we'd have fun. But things have now changed to where now I go to him for fun. And that's brand new. That is brand new as of last month, where now we are having a wonderful sex life, better than we've ever had in our entire almost 32 years of being together now. And it's insane. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow.
And what's amazing for him, and I would love to get your perspective on it, David, would be, how has it been different for you now that I'm interested in your part?
Well, and you had said that you had read in one of the groups how that like you weren't honoring me or whatever because of the fact that like we're staying together and all that stuff. And I think that was something that like I was just blind to, like it just was our reality, you know? And so like I didn't know that, you know, there would be anything else. And so now that things have been unlocked, I feel like, oh, no, now I do get it. I do get that there is a difference, but I'm experiencing it with the woman that I love. We didn't have to go do all the scary things that we were worried about doing to get there. So that's been a really, really big gift. And so just as much credit goes to Monique for, you know, her ability to figure these things out, unlock these things, her creativity that really kind of feeds into being able to, you know, I don't know if it's just mind over matter or what, you know, I don't know how I would even describe it, you know, but she's,
wow,
yeah, her creativity and ability. Yeah. I don't have a word for it, honestly.
That is crazy. Incredible. Yeah, wow.
It really is.
Wow. Yeah. All right, David, I'm going to ask you, what's been the hardest part and scariest parts for you on this journey?
The hardest part was definitely, you know, just being in that dark place where, you know, we've gone like a month without any sex, you know, and it's just this wedge, and that pie piece seems like it's getting bigger and bigger, the one that we can't work out. And it's funny how the mind lets you at that point just starts to ignore all of the parts that do work between us, you know, like suddenly the sex pie piece is, you know, 90% of the pie for some reason. And just being up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking like, oh my God, this is over. How is all this going to work? You know, like, I mean, yeah, like we oftentimes hear from other couples about us being, you know, like, I don't know, somehow this ideal couple or whatever. And now all of a sudden that's on shaky ground, you know? Mm. And so that was extremely hard. And I think the scariest part really just comes from that like it kind of culminated into one night that I'm just like, I can't sleep. I got up, I started, you know, I got online, I'm looking at mixed orientation resources and all these things. I'm not finding any, like, started looking for therapist options, which is really difficult because a lot of them just don't focus on this as in their practice. So therefore, like, we oftentimes worry that going to a therapist would drive us apart. The guidance we would get is you guys have to separate.
Right.
And so we really bristled at the idea of going to therapy because of that reason. So I'm trying to find like, all right, are there therapy resources out there that like, one, have experience in this, and two, that separation is not a foregone conclusion, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, that was 3-4 o'clock in the morning, got tired, went back to bed. But when we got up that next morning, I don't remember how the morning went. I think Monique, you had gotten done with your meditation. You came up to my office and like, I could barely speak.
Oh.
And I broke down.
I had never seen him like that in his life before. Wow. Never saw him like that in his life.
I really broke down and thought that like, we don't have a path forward and all this. And through Monique's growth around the spiritual practice that she's talked about and stuff like that, she will say that, she'll say this, but I'll say what she said to me, which is that she's finally strong enough to actually support me in that moment, which, you know, which was huge. Like, it was just divine timing that like she had the strength to be there for me in that really, really bad moment. And, you know, it wasn't all roses in that conversation. You know, that was the hard, like, you know, this might not turn out great, but we're still going to be there for each other. Was, I think, the big takeaway from that one. We still had work to do for sure. Mm. But that, yeah, that was definitely the scariest part was, wow. 'Cause I've not had many instances of being that kind of vulnerable in, you know, all of our years together. So that was very scary. Like just allowing myself to be that vulnerable.
Gosh. Wow. And, wow. Thank you for that. What that reminds me of, again, going back to this heteronormativity, you know, where the man has to be the rock all the time. And, you know, and wow. And I just love too that what you defined as being her being able to be strong in that moment. That's what partnership is about.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with gender, you know, or sexuality or anything. That's what being human to one another is about. You know, that's just beautiful.
And I'll just add that like we've had conversations where like we acknowledge the possibility that it could still end up in us separating just because of things just not working out. Like we're going to try all the things on this very defined, you know, logical path that like I map out and we work on together and all these sort of things. But I think that like we both realize that like Monique, you had said something like, but I don't want that to mean that like, I still want to be friends. And, you know, like I want it to be, you know, as amicable or whatever as it can be. And the thing that I realized and said at that moment was like, we are constantly talking about this stuff in the most loving and supportive way possible. I don't see how we could end up in this just awful adversarial separation thing when there's that much love and support and communication as part of us going through this. So even if it does come to that, which neither one of us wants, neither one of us thinks is going to happen, we're still going to be best friends to each other.
Absolutely.
Always. Always.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Without a doubt. And I want to remind everybody too, whether you've been together with someone since you were 16, like David and Monique have, you know, there are seasons that we go through. There's growth that we each go through individually and as a couple. So, you know, just think of all the different cycles of growth that we go through, you know, throughout our life, like I said, as an individual and as a couple. And it's not unusual that this would be another one of those cycles. You know, it's just another one of those cycles. So, okay, my last two questions to ask each of you. Monique, what advice would you give to your younger self? Knowing what you know today, what would you tell young Monique?
Mr. David Sooner.
That is so cute.
It's through all the ups and downs, I would not trade this at all. Even if we do end up separating and we're still going to always be in each other's lives, but I don't foresee that happening at this point. And it's just, yeah, I would just say stay the course. And the only thing though is I would love if, you know, the people who are fighting against gay books in schools and representation, what they don't get is, I mean, even the most staunch ones who would say that this is how it's supposed to be, like even as a gay woman, the fact that I ended up with a man is the best possible thing for me. What I would say to that is, in mixed orientation, when there's no representation and people don't know that they're gay, straight people get hurt as much as the gay people get hurt. And it's not a good situation for anybody. So I would say that representation really, really does matter. But in our case, I guess I'm thankful that I didn't know at the time, because I am very thankful for David. So that's how that is.
And then what advice would you give to anybody who's listening or maybe on the, at the precipice of going through what you and David are going through?
I would say that make sure that you do all the work on yourself. Don't worry so much about your partner at this point, because when David, I had done so much spiritual work, therapy work, all these different training modalities, that when he did have his dark hour, I was finally strong enough that I could support him. And I had never been that way in my life. And part of that came from being out and being my most authentic self, because I finally found integrity and everything made sense. And I found my place in the world. I'm like, oh, this is who I am. I am now whole. I am no longer pretending and having, because when you're not authentic and your identity is built on a house of cards, the wind can knock it over any day. But now that can't happen because I'm solid. And because I'm solid, things are okay now. So I would say for other people is work on yourself to get yourself solid. And also, don't ever think that a label means that you have to make any decision. I really don't like that people paint these boxes where they're so narrowly defined of, okay, you are not a lesbian technically until not only have you dated one, but you have broken up with one. Until you get your heart broken, you're not a true lesbian. And I would heavily balk at that, because here I am with a man of my dreams. And yeah, I'm still gay. So,
Wow. David, what advice would you give to your younger David self?
Oh, man, that one's difficult for me because, I mean, I'm doing pretty good.
So, yes, you are.
Like, I would not wish to have changed anything about this. So maybe just appreciate every moment because I'm not changing anything.
Wow. So, yeah. I think you're doing pretty fucking damn good, David. Yeah. And then any advice that you could give couples that are going through or the guy on the guy's side or.
Yeah. One thing I'll say before I say that is like, we have read a lot of instances where people are in mixed orientation and they're struggling, but the things they're talking about, the problem is not the mixed orientation. The problem is that the relationship wasn't really that good to begin with. Mm-hmm. They were going to have problems either way. And so I only say that because I would say, if you feel like you have a good, solid relationship where you truly love this person and it's as much as can be just the orientation that is the issue at hand, that communication just leads to clarity. Like we've talked about, we talk all the time. And the darkest places we were both in were the times that we weren't talking. Mm. And
wow,
just where we were just getting stuck in our own heads rather than working on things together. So if you don't know, you know, like what to talk about, go buy some question cards. You know, like there's all kinds of them where they have all these great questions for couples and things like that. And just be truthful and honest when you're answering those questions. Those can be a great way to spur things on. Or go check out different, you know, books and other resources, or listen to a podcast, you know, on the topic, and have those moments where you're just listening together and just pausing when something pops up in your head that you want to say, you know, to your partner. And before we get any further, I absolutely have to thank you, Robin, because the resources that you have put together through the podcast and the Facebook group and stuff like that, I mean, I've heard Monique say that, like, just being a part of those and on your weekly calls by itself sometimes fills her queer bucket.
Wow.
That's true.
Just having community is a huge thing. So
you've been
a really, really big part of us being able to stay together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. You are a special couple, really special couple. Any final words before I say good night or goodbye and thank you? This has just been amazing.
I got my thank you in.
Thank you.
I would second David's sentiment. I think that the community is so important to hear the different stories and to be, I think because I'm not physically with a woman, being able to help them online is actually, it's very gratifying. And so that you have given us a place to do that, that is not hypersexualized in a lot of the other lesbian groups, but that it's more of a support group is really nice, especially for someone in my position. And so, yeah, I would say thank you. Just thank you. Wow. I just have so much gratitude for everything, honestly.
Thank you. I mean, and you know, to give a little commercial to our Wednesday support group, that group has been amazing. You know, it just has been amazing. The women, and it's great too, because some of the women that come in, they'll send me a note ahead of time and they'll say, well, I probably won't come on camera. I probably won't share. I won't introduce myself. I just don't even want to be seen. And within minutes, they're on the camera. They're jumping in. And I mean, it's just great. And I attribute that to the personalities and the love and support that's in those rooms, because it's a safe place. You know, we created a safe place that people feel comfortable to share and open up. And it's just funny. Like, I'm, you know, one of the gals in there, I almost just said her name, but she's like, I don't think I'm going to. And she comes every week and she's like the biggest advocate of the support group and speaks up and just, I mean, it's, and she's like, I don't think I'm going to talk.
But I think it's because they're the representation. They finally see somebody who's going through the same thing and they're like, oh my God, this is so familiar. Like, I'm not alone here.
Yes. So. It's the sharing of the stories that people are willing to introduce themselves and just let it all hang out. I mean, we cry in there. We sing in there. We've got some really talented people in there, too, artists and singer-songwriters. And we've done it all in those support groups. And yeah, the representation helps a lot because none of us have had that. Wow. Just love you two. We'll have to get you back on in a couple of months and see where you're at again. Thank you, David, for making history on this podcast. our first couple, our first husband and wife, and love you both to pieces. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
It's been lovely.
Until next time, here are some coming out late announcements. If you get value from listening to my weekly podcast, I invite you to please show your appreciation by buying me a virtual coffee. All you have to do is go to the website buymeacoffee.com/Robin Douglas, RobinDouglass. I'd really like to thank all of you who have generously bought me a coffee or coffees in the past. I really, really do appreciate your support, and it does make a big difference and means the world to Hugo and I. If you are struggling to make sense of and manage your coming out late journey and the people in your life who are affected by your coming out, then I encourage you to send me an email and request information about my one-on-one coaching. It makes an enormous difference to have someone like myself who really understands the fear associated with this coming out late process. I'm someone who has been through it and who can help you decide what the best course of action is for you. And something I also offer that not many other coaches offer is unlimited asynchronous communication in between the times when we meet. So you'll always have me in your hip pocket to turn to. All you have to do is email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com to request my coaching information sheet. I'm reasonably priced and offer you flexible ways that you can use your sessions. And I'm always only a text away. Retreats. The 2024 Coming Out Late retreat schedule has been solidified, and I cannot wait to meet a whole bunch of you as we crisscross the U.S. For those of you who are not familiar with what the Coming Out Late retreats are all about, their purpose is to build community, make connections, and experience this new out gay life with a small, trusted group of queer women, all while having tons of fun in the process. I'm kicking off our Coming Out Late retreats with a trip out to Portland, Oregon. I cannot wait. I've never been to Portland, Oregon, and apparently there has been quite an outcry for my Coming Out Late retreats to visit the Pacific Northwest. So here we come. And that will take place either the weekend of August 8th through the 11th or August 15th to the 18th. I'll be polling the group and deciding probably this week or next week, so stay tuned. Then I bring the Coming Out Late retreat back to Traverse City, Michigan, where we'll enjoy the fall weather together and attend their annual Up North Pride event again. We went last year and had a blast. The Traverse City, Michigan retreat will be taking place from September 25th to September 29th. And from there, we continue east and attend the infamous Women's Week, which takes place every year for the last, 30 years in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And those dates are October 17th through the 20th. So here's the deal. If you even remotely think you want to attend any or all of these retreats, all you need to do is send me an email right now to comingoutlater@gmail.com, and I will put your name and email address on the list. As soon as I know the lodging costs, I will send out a group email to everyone on the list and request a non-refundable deposit to hold your place. Spaces will be limited and will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis. Likewise, if we do not have at least 12 to 14 people committed with deposits for any of these retreats, the retreat will be canceled. So send me an email if you want to meet in Portland, Oregon, Traverse City, Michigan, or Provincetown, Massachusetts. And FYI, Traverse City is already 2/3 of the way full. And of course, if you have any questions, you can send me an email with those as well to comingoutlater@gmail.com. I do make every effort to try and curate our lodging, being mindful of our budgets, and each hotel room will have two happy queer campers in each room with their own queen bed. That's all I have for you for now. In the meantime, be good. And if you can't be good, then be good at it. And remember, it's better late than never, because it's never too late. Carpe vita, everyone. Seize life.
If you're looking for your people, your community, and a safe place to learn and get answers to your questions, then come join the conversation. Come join us in our private Facebook group, Coming Out Late, because we all know it's better late than never, and it's never too late.